Our text this evening will be found in the prophet Amos. Amos chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Amos 2, 1 to 5. Once again, give our diligent attention to this reading of God's holy word. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kerioth. Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting and trumpet sound, and I will cut off the judge from its midst, and slay all its princes with him, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. Their lies lead them astray, lies which their fathers followed. But I will send the fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. As far as this reading of God's holy word, you may be seated. Join me with your hearts and minds as we go to a throne of grace to ask our great God and King to speak to us from His Word this evening. Let us pray. O gracious Father, we pray now, Lord, that as Your Word is proclaimed, that You would open our hearts and minds to hear what the Spirit says to the church and to understand and comprehend Your marvelous grace, Your holiness, and Your truth. Father, we pray Your Word will come forth with a demonstration of Your Spirit and power. In Jesus' holy name we ask it. Amen. Well, the prophet Amos, remember, is a prophet from the southern kingdom of Judah who was called by God to go to the northern kingdom of Israel. Remember, the nation of Israel had split into two kingdoms because of the wickedness of Solomon going after foreign wives. And yet God spared Solomon in his days. But when his son came to the throne, Rehoboam, God divided the kingdom. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, becomes the founder of the northern 10 tribes of the nation of Israel, and the southern tribes, the remnant of God's people, was in the south, in Judah, in Jerusalem, and Benjamin, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and they were known as Judah. And this prophet going from Judah, which would have still been the people of God, would have still been where God's promises would have been found, you see, because God had promised David that one of his sons would sit upon the throne forever. And thus for the northern nation of the 10 tribes of Israel, of Ephraim is another synonym for Israel, to depart from the house of David was apostasy. But as you can imagine, they would not have liked someone from the southern, the smaller two tribes of Judah and Benjamin from the southern nation of Judah to come up and to tell them about the things of God. They would not want to have heard that. But God, who is pleased to use those things that we despise, that the world despises, so that He could glorify and magnify Himself, was pleased to call Amos, who was not a son of a prophet, who was not a prophet priorly, but was a sheep breeder. And yet God called him to bring forth this proclamation of His holy word to the northern nation of the 10 tribes of Israel. And as Amos brings this message, he starts off, as it were, with a formula and bringing judgment upon all of these, for the most part, pagan or heathen nations. And as we can imagine, the original audience, as Amos is proclaiming this before Israel, that they would have agreed that God needs to punish all these wicked foreign nations who have been mean and wicked and evil towards God's people throughout history. But you see, as we're going to see this evening, and especially next week, God willing, that the judgment comes down, as it were, upon them, ultimately. That we ought not to be concerned overly, right? We are to be concerned with God's holiness and the reality of judgment upon everyone. But ultimately, judgment starts in the house of God. It starts with us as His people, or those who claim to be His people, right? Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, are His people. Nevertheless, judgment will come and fall worse upon those who claim to be His people and yet are not truly worshiping Him aright. we're going to see this evening that God now pronounces judgment on the nations of Moab and Judah. We'll look at this on the two main points. First, the judgment upon Moab, and then secondly, the judgment upon Judah. Let's read verses 1 to 3 here in chapter 2 of Amos again. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime, but I will send the fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kerioth. Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting and trumpet sound, and I will cut off the judge from its midst and slay all its princes with him, says the Lord. Remember, we've seen the last couple of weeks judgment come upon other nations, and Moab as well would have been a pagan or heathen nation. They were not the people of God. We saw judgment come upon Syria, Damascus being the main city. We saw judgment come upon the Philistines. Remember, they were wicked enemies of God's people. Particularly, we think of them in the time of Samuel and David and Solomon. As well as Phoenicia, which is Tyre and Sidon, okay, which were a pagan nation. And then we saw it come upon Edom and Ammon. Now, when the judgment comes upon Edom and Ammon, we have to remember that they're relatives of the people of Israel. Edom comes from Esau, who is the twin brother of Jacob. Okay, so they're very close relations. And then Ammon, and now this evening Moab, were the children of who but Lot. And remember how they're born. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Of course, this is in the midst of God sending judgment of condemnation upon Sodom and Gomorrah, where fire and brimstone literally rained from heaven and destroyed those cities and the surrounding ones. And then Lot unwisely takes his daughters with him by themselves into a cave, because remember, Lot's wife looked back. She became a pillar of salt and becomes an example for all of us to never look back to the things of this world. The world has nothing for us. We look forward. As Paul tells us, we set our eyes on the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But look at verse 36 here in Genesis 19. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father after they had made him drunk and deceived him and laid with him unlawfully. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. And thus Moab, like Ammon, would have been distant relatives of the people of Israel, as they were Lot's children. They come from Lot, who is, remember, Abraham's nephew, who he basically adopted and brought him to the promised land from Ur of the Chaldeans. Okay? So the Ammonites and the Moabites would have been close relations to Israel. And yet they were wicked. They were not a part of the covenant community. And also, interestingly enough, that we have to realize is that when the children of Israel are promised to come back into the promised land from Egypt, where they're enslaved, and God tells them to destroy the nations who inhabit Canaan, it does not include Ammon, Moab, or Edom. You see, who were close relations to the Israelites. But remember, the Moabites were wicked, as we heard this morning in Sunday school. Right? They were not allowed to be a part of God's people because they did not meet the children of Israel with bread and water, but they had hired Balaam to curse the children of Israel. But you see, what men mean for evil, God uses for good. And remember, the angel of the Lord comes in Balaam's way, and he not only stops him from cursing Israel, but in fact compels him, forces him, as it were, to bless the children of Israel. You see, because he who is for us is greater than he who is against us, which is the world and Satan. Greater is he that is with us than he who is in the world. Now Moab, though, even though God does not tell them to wipe them out when they come into the promised land, they are forbidden to become part of the people of Israel. And yet God, who is rich in mercy, you see, when you consider that what Moab did was not any better or any worse than what other nations did. And yet they felt the severity as a nation now, not every individual, right? Because remember, what's Ruth? Well, Moabite, who not only is she a Moabite, but she becomes one of the ancestors of David. And who is David the father of, but the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? God is a God of mercy and love and compassion. And yet, Moab receives the righteous judgment of a holy God. This ought to make us stand still and know that He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. And that we will answer to Him as Moab here answers for their transgressions, as Amos prophesies, for three transgressions of Moab, for four. Remember, that's a formula. It has nothing to do with the three or four. That's just the way of saying for all of their many sins. Because notice, he always hones in on one particular sin, and the one that Amos brings forth here is that they burn the bones of the king of Edom to lime. And speaking of their wickedness, in relation to, remember, Israel, because Edom would have been subjected to Israel in the times of David. So that for them to do this wickedness to Edom, who was also family, distant family, to Moab and the Ammonites, was to do wickedness towards God's creation, period, but towards God's people in particular. But how does God respond to the sins of Moab? He says He will send a fire, that He will devour, that they will die, that they will be cut off, and that He will slay them. This language perhaps is repulsive to us. This language would make us think, well, this is not the God that this is not what I joined on for. When I said, yes, I believe in Jesus, I don't believe that God would do this to anyone. But you see, you have mistaken, you have not understood the truth of God's holy word. That in fact, you deserve to be on fire. You deserve to be devoured. You deserve to die and to be cut off and to perish and to be slain by the Almighty. But because of Jesus Christ, because of His cross, because of His perfect life put on our stead and our sins placed upon Him, He was slain for us. That's why we accounted Him as stricken, as smitten for us, His people, for God's people. That this righteous and holy God who will not be trifled with, who will not be played with. You see, we may think we're getting away with things here. And we, in fact, do deceive not only others, but our own selves, left to ourselves. But God, who is righteous, God who will judge each and every one of us, we will all have to give an account to Him. Beloved, you do not want to be on the side of Moab, nor on the side of Syria, nor Philistia, nor Phoenicia, nor Edom, nor Ammon, nor, as we're going to see, Judah, nor Israel. You don't want to be found by yourself. You don't want to be found naked based on your own life. You want to be found covered by the blood, the precious blood of the Lamb, slain before the foundation of the world. Why? Because you deserved it? Because you earned it? No, because of His love. Because of His mercy. Yes, this God who is going to bring forth judgment and does judge, and in fact, there is a hell, and there are those who do, in fact, perish. It's also the God who, in His rich mercy, in your life, is allowing you to hear His gospel and enables all of us who are His people to trust in His Son, that we need not fret, that we need not worry, that we need not cry, but rather we can go to Him, to His Son, so that this judgment that, in fact, is ours as well, has been paid for. We have been bought with a price, the blood of the Lamb of God. But Moab here as a nation would be wiped out for their sins. But remember, as we said, this formula of three sins and for four, what is every sin? Now hear me, church. Every sin deserved from God, but His righteous and eternal condemnation and wrath upon us. Do you ever stop and think about that? Who can stand? None of us. Not only would we not stand, but we would be burned to lime, our bones, as the king of Edom. In fact, eternal condemnation doesn't pay the price ultimately, right? No, they will suffer forever and ever. That's what we all deserve. But God, who's rich in mercy, God, who's holy and who's not like us, whose thoughts are not our thoughts, whose ways are not our ways, provides, as it were, not only a way of escape, but a way of eternal life in His Son, who is the true Israel, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who is the fulfillment of all God's promises. That's why the Scriptures say in Christ Jesus, all promises of God are yes and amen. Because it's in Him and Him alone. We must keep our eyes on Him, lest this judgment which we deserve befall us. And thus God's judgment comes upon Moab. Do you know any more Moabites? No, right? That nation is gone. But God was rich in mercy. His people are still here. You see, kingdoms will come and go. The Greeks were great in their time. The Roman Empire may have been magnificent. The Mongolian Empire was great. But guess what? The kingdom of God is eternal. Kingdoms will come and go. Even our beautiful nation of America that God has blessed richly, who is turning its back on God, who will one day will be no more, God's kingdom will still reign forever and ever. Amen. Now we see here, Amos come now, as it were, to the doorstep of Israel as the judgment of God, which is upon his mouth as a prophet of God, comes now against Judah. Look at verses 4 and 5. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. Their lies lead them astray, lies which their fathers followed. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Now this ought to have, as it were, provoked Israel to really consider what's going on here. See, well, they're thinking the judgment is spreading out further and further from them. In fact, it's coming in, as it were. Right? All these pagan nations God is going to judge. But now Judah. You see, and Judah was, as we said, where the house of David was. And the house of David was found the promise, the very seed promise that God gives to Adam and Eve in the garden, which is then next given, as it were, more in progressive revelation, more understanding and more truth in Abraham, which was given to his sons as well, Isaac, and then, of course, Jacob, right? And then Jacob is Israel, right? And so these promises, and then it's found in David, the Davidic covenant, that God tells him that from him, from his own loins, would come the Messiah himself, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet God's judgment comes upon them. Now, church, this is one particular judgment that we need to hear, right? Because we still have this phenomenon. Well, I'm a member of a church. I go to church on Sunday. Surely God is pleased with my life. But God is not pleased with what we consider worshiping Him. He's only pleased with worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, according to His Word, not according to the dictates of our hearts, right? Because what is man but all men, but hypocrites, right? We are all hypocrites left to ourselves. And if God's judgment were to come upon us outside of Christ, we deserve His righteous wrath. In fact, we deserve worse punishment. Because to have greater knowledge is to receive greater punishment. And that's why, this judgment upon Judah is extremely severe, as it were. For three transgressions of Judah, for four, I will not turn away its punishment. Now, what are their sins? Look at what the Word of God says. Because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept His commandments. That's where it lies, beloved. Not in who says they are believers. Not even in those who claim to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's those who believe, trust, and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's those who keep God's commandments. We find it in the Ten Commandments, right? He shows steadfast love to thousands that love Him and keep His commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. God desires obedience more than sacrifice. You see, and in the thing about that that we have to realize is not that we're not supposed to do good works. You see, that's a misunderstanding. But the Scriptures make it clear, even those, all of us, are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. There's work to be done. There are commandments to obey. There's a gospel to spread. But you see, in those activities that God is pleased to work through His own people, our salvation is not found in what we do. Our salvation is found in what He has done in Christ Jesus. And it's because what He has done that He spreads forth His love to us, His people, and to those whom He is calling from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Right? The sovereignty of God is never an excuse. It never ought to be a guise for laziness, for sluggishness, for not obeying God's word. The Scriptures are clear. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, are any of us perfect? No, right? But yes, yet we can be found in the perfect one. And we ought to be being conformed into His image, namely our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you see, the perfection, the holiness, the salvation is found in Christ. The intimate union and communion that we have in the Son of God. You see, the law of God is not above God. The law is not something outside of God. The law, and particularly the moral law of God, and which is summarized in the Ten Commandments, is a reflection of who He is. He is, right? You shall have no other gods before Me. Why? Because there are no other gods. You're not to worship Him according to the dictates of your own heart or mind or your imagination. You are not to make any graven images. Be careful how you speak about God. He will not hold Him guiltless who takes His name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. God gives you 6 days to take care of your business, of course, doing it for His glory. But the Sabbath day belongs to the Lord your God. Right? And you are to keep it holy the entire day. Not carve out an hour and a half to go to church and check the mark, oh, I kept the Sabbath. No. We are to obey His commands completely. And when we honor our father and mother, who are we honoring but God, from whom all authority comes from? You shall not murder. God is the one who takes vengeance. God is the one who controls life and death. You shall not commit adultery. God is faithful. Where you and I are unfaithful, God is faithful. That's why we worship Him. That's why we serve Him. That's why we love Him. And when we love Him, then we're able to love our neighbors as ourselves. Of course, He's the one who is truth Himself. He's the one who cannot steal because He owns all things. And of course, God does not need to covet, for all things are His. And all things work according to His holy will. But Judah was not keeping, the southern kingdom of Judah was not keeping the commandments of the Lord their God. What were they doing? You see, if you're not doing something right, you're going to be doing something wrong. What were they doing? Their lies lead them astray. Lies which their fathers followed. And what were the lies? But the wicked, false worship that had infiltrated the people of God, that continually infiltrates God's people, especially particularly those who claim to be God's people, and nevertheless they're not really God's people. Right? As John will later say in his epistle, they left from us not because they were of us, because if they were of us, they would have never left. They would have never left. But those who merely are professing believers are not the true Israel of God. They're not the true people of God. The true people of God are found in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus doesn't leave. Christ Jesus doesn't leave. He's always with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. But Judah had followed lies which their fathers had followed. And remember, in particular, what ensnared them were the false gods. Remember? There was not only were they supposed to destroy all those nations, the seven nations of the Canaanites, right? But they did not destroy them completely, but they were worshiping their false gods. You see, in the same way, we as God's people are called to live holy lives. We are to separate ourselves from the things of this world. You see, when you allow the world to infiltrate your life, you are allowing lies to dictate how you live. And we're not called to allow lies to dictate how we live. We're called to have God's holy word and truth not only tell us how to live, but think about this, the marvelous grace of God. But He enables us to not only hear His word and understand His word, but to live according to His word. He does it. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. And shame on us that we don't use the ordinary means of grace that He's provided. Pastor, I want to keep God's commands, but I'm not doing it. Well, are you in His word? Do you even know His commandments? Have you hidden His word in your heart that you may not sin, that you might not sin against Him? Pastor, I'm worried. Yes, we all have anxiety. We all have worries. Are you on your knees? Are you praying? Are you taking it to the throne? Be anxious for nothing, but by prayers and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And what happens when you do that? Listen to me, church. God is not a liar. His word is absolute truth. His peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But notice there's an activity happening there. If you're not praying, don't expect the peace of God to guard your heart. But pastor, I know that I can't earn my salvation and my prayer life has been awful. Yes, your prayer life may have been awful, but guess what? Pray! Just get on your knees. Pray! Do it! Ask God to teach you how to pray. But you see, when you ask God to teach you how to pray, don't expect, as we saw this morning, right, the Pharisees looking for a false sign. Right? You don't need somebody, you don't need Pastor Rodriguez to tell you to pray. The Word of God tells you to pray. It says pray without ceasing. You don't need a five-step book to teach you how to pray. Pray. Pray the prayers of Scripture and then pour your heart out before the Almighty. Because He cares for you. So that lies will not infiltrate your heart and your mind and your life. Now verse 5 is very short, but perhaps we're missing the magnitude of God's judgment here. But I will send the fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Now why this is important? Because God, through David, chooses Jerusalem to be, as it were, His throne. Right? Remember, that's where the temple is built. And the temple stood as, that was a sign, and that was a type in the old covenant of the presence of God. Okay? But you see, the temple in and of itself wasn't going to be, if you did not believe in the God who reigns and who was manifesting Himself in the temple could not protect you. God says He would bring forth fire and destroy Jerusalem with the temple. You see, a person from Judah at this time in history could not have fathomed even the idea that judgment would fall upon Jerusalem, that judgment would fall upon the temple of God. Remember when Solomon dedicates the temple, he says, God, the heavens, not even the heavens of heavens could contain you. And yet, from this temple, when your people pray facing this temple, please hear us. Forgive us from our sins. Honor your name and glorify your name here. And yet the people of Judah, had been disobedient. They had gone astray. They had believed the lie. Remember Romans chapter 1 when God gives them over to themselves, which He does to all those whom He has reprobated? What was it? What was one of the major lies? That they serve the creature rather than the Creator. God will not share His glory with another. And we cannot use the pretense of being in covenant with God if we're not truly in covenant with God. You see, the nation of Judah received the judgment. Remember what happened? They received judgment twice. First, Babylon comes and destroys the temple. Remember, Babylon comes and destroys them. But God, who's rich in mercy, allows them to come back. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is there. And Christ Jesus, it says in John chapter 1, came and tabernacled or tented or dwelled among us. You see, the temple was pointing to Him, the ultimate manifestation of God in the flesh, in His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. And He sends forth and He declares the judgment. And then Rome comes and destroys the temple again. Now we don't look for another temple, right? But our city was not made by human hands, right? Our country is not here on this earth, but is above, right, where God is. And we will reign with Him forever and ever in the new heavens and the new earth when He comes and completes all things when Christ Jesus comes the second time. So that this judgment that had fallen upon Judah, this judgment that falls upon all the wicked, by God's grace will not fall upon us because of the true Israel of God, who is Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, the reason why God, who never lies, who's always faithful, who completes all His purposes, would bring forth judgment on Judah, because Judah left to itself wasn't the promise, but Christ Jesus is the promise. Christ Jesus is our salvation. Christ Jesus is the one who suffered for us, who died on the cross, who was raised from the dead for our justification. Oh, what a marvelous God we serve. He is in fact holy. He in fact will judge each and every one of us. But thanks be to God for Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God for Christ Jesus, because woe unto all those who are left to themselves. Woe unto all those who, like Moab and even Judah, and next week as we're going to see, Israel, are judged by the righteous and holy judgment of God and perfect judgment of God left to themselves. But beloved, as we go forth, as we take these marvelous lessons of God's holiness and truth with us this next week, let us know that God is not only holy, but perfect and merciful and long-suffering towards us, His people. Let us always, not sometimes, not when it's convenient, not when just when people are looking, but always obey the Word of God by His grace and for His glory. And let us cling, absolutely cling to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our justification, sanctification, and redemption, through whom all the promises of God are yes and amen, the King of kings and Lord of lords Himself, Jesus Christ. May He be praised. Amen. Let us pray. Mighty Father, we thank You for Your Word. Oh God, Your judgments, in fact, are terrible and awesome. Thank You, God, for Jesus Christ, who's our only Savior. In His name we pray. Amen.